same-sex marriages. Whether it's England, Northern Ireland, Canada, or the United States of America, the issue of same-sex marriages is rarely out of the news. Supporters of such arrangements cite the usual arguments of human rights, personal choice, the right to live as they please, and they have been extremely zealous in promoting their unscriptural lifestyle. Of course, the issue does not stop with the people directly involved. What is happening in many countries across the world is that Christian business owners are finding themselves in danger of breaking the law if they refuse to facilitate same-sex marriages. For example, hotel owners, photographers, printers, in fact any kind of service provider, may fall foul of the law if they do not extend their services to same-sex couples. It may well be that in the future, the same kind of law will be used against ministers of the gospel. There have been many times when the institution of marriage has had to be defended, and this is one such time. It's vitally important that we're not swept away with the practices and philosophies of men. What is needed to combat the departure from the Word of God is a call back to the Word of God. Sometimes a back to the Bible campaign is needed, and that's certainly the case with marriage. If we're going to address all of the various attacks upon this matter, let's get right down to foundational truths and consider marriage in a biblical light. When we do that, there are truths we must never lose sight of. What is the basis of marriage between one man and one woman? Where did marriage originate? Was it just a notion of our first parents? An idea they hit on in the Garden of Eden? Something they thought they would like to try? Not at all. If that was the case and marriage was just a man-made idea, then we could reject it without great consequence. But marriage is not man-made. It was ordained by God himself. When the Lord finished the creation of the world and placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he established two important things. One was the Sabbath day. One day in seven is a day of rest, and we should keep that. The second was marriage. He brought Eve to Adam, and they were joined as husband and wife. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 puts it like this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." And then in the same chapter, in verses 21 through to 24, we read these words, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This was the first wedding, and it was ordered by God himself. That suggests, among other things, that God knows all about marriage. He set this institution in place. He was there. He ordered that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and that they would become one flesh. This was God's will, one man with one woman, until they would be separated by death. Dr. Ian Brown of the Free Presbyterian Government and Morals Committee rightly notes, "The only template God authorises for a marriage union is that between one man and one woman. Back in the beginning of creation, when God declared, it is not good that the man should be alone, I will make him and help meet for him, he did not create another man as a suitable partner for Adam. He made a woman and brought her to him." There's something very simple there. God's ordained arrangement for marriage is one man with one woman, dwelling together for life. It is God's plan that man and woman, husband and wife, should enter into a marriage built on fidelity, mutual duty, and respect. This law was not just for the Old Testament era. This divine arrangement of the marriage union was endorsed and emphasized by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament also. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Mark chapter 10. But the scripture doesn't finish there. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it." This is the basis for marriage. This is something we must keep in mind. No man has the right to dismantle, distort, or certainly destroy what God has ordained. Why is marriage so important? What are the reasons for marriage? The Westminster Confession of Faith plainly states marriage was ordained for the mutual help of husband and wife, for the increase of mankind with a legitimate issue, and of the church with a holy seed, and for preventing of uncleanness. These reasons are clearly set forth in Scripture, a husband and wife living together in mutual respect for each other, bearing and raising children within that marriage arrangement, and contributing to the welfare of each other as God has intended. Are there any benefits, blessings which flow from marriage as God has ordained? Solid marriages, marriages which follow God's ordained way, are for the benefit and blessing of society at large. Families make up the heart of communities, and well-ordered families make for well-ordered communities. Let's face this, marriage between one man and one woman, as set forth by God, is under attack. Consequently, the family unit is under attack. Society is under attack. The church is under attack. We must therefore pray for a return to the old paths, and for grace and power to resist any deviation from those old paths.